Now, why don't we all stand right now? Stand and let's proclaim the word of God together. I want to be excited about being able to proclaim it, and I pray you'll be excited in reading it and hearing it as well, all right? So are you ready? This is my Bible. Okay, one, two, and those on online as well, you do it together with me. Hold up your Bible. Ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instruct my behavior. So help me, God. Now, we're going to read from this passage. In fact, two passages here, 1 Peter and from the book of Hebrews. And so let's declare it aloud together. Declare aloud. Ready? One, two, go. Now that you have been purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And one last passage. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, not only here in the in-person celebration, but also right at every home, God, where our people are, Lord, celebrating together with the people here as well. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, will you come and illumine our minds that we may be open, God, to hear the voice of our great shepherd. And all God's children say, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We were praying for Sabah. And so this morning, about 100 of us gathered together over Zoom at a prayer altar to really intercede for Sabah, and that God would somehow, in his sovereign plan and will, would do something not only just for Sabah, for the whole country. Let's continue to pray. I want to invite you to come and join us at our Saturday morning prayer altar from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. In fact, this coming Saturday, come and join us. You know, Pastor Gideon Molindi will be there to lead us in a time of worship all the way, you know, from Africa. What an amazing, amazing privilege that we have through, you know, internet as well. Now, so welcome back and shalom to you and those watching this on the live stream as well. We are doing a four-week series on the local church to help us recalibrate. I use that word recalibration to help us recalibrate what it means to be a local church and what are the benefits and responsibilities that come with being in what I call a covenant relationship with a local church, as well as how the church functions to meet the different needs of kingdom people and non-kingdom people. You see, my fear is that, you know, while many of us are, you know, in the last 6 months now been online and doing church online, my fear is that we may forget, all right, put to the back burner what it means to be a local church. So it is very important for us to revisit that and never lose sight on it. And so last weekend I mentioned that in Matthew 16:18, on this rock. And who is this rock? Jesus is the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. So it's important for us to know that the church is his idea, is Jesus' idea, not our idea. It's not man's idea. It is God, it is Jesus himself who will build his church. And remember, I said to you that the word church is translated from the word ecclesia. Ecclesia is the Greek word for an assembly. In fact, it is not just an assembly. In fact, if you dig deep into that word, it also means the called out ones or called together. All right, called out ones. I mean, God calls God's people together. And so it is his call for the people of God to congregate, you know, as one body. And so it is not a place. It's not just meeting in a place. And I mentioned that last weekend as well. It's not just a place. It is not a building. And it is not an institution. It is God's people gathering, assembling together. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I was reminding all of us that not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So the worst fear for many pastors is that you will have the habit of not meeting together like this. And you're very, very happy at home because it's so convenient. And I jokingly say some of you could be in your pajamas even while coming to church in that sense, right? And so it's so important for us to not give up meeting together. There will be a constant reminder during this pandemic. And so I'm really glad to see, you know, the hall is much more fuller this weekend. And I pray, you know, I hope to fill up. In fact, the gallery now is being seated as well, all right, part of it. And so I pray that by next weekend, yeah, you want to give the Lord a clap, give the Lord a clap right now, okay? So thank you for coming, and I see one of my favorite auntie, all right, seated right there. Thank you very much for coming, and I was so happy to see her. And she said, I was wondering whether I could come, and I'm so glad she turned up. So thank you for coming, auntie. All right. And so, in that sense, if we are not careful, we can fall into that lull that people tend to think of church. Now listen to this carefully here. Some people may tend to think of the church as just a provider of content, right? I just attend church online. I want to hear what the church has to offer in terms of its content, rather than church being a place where we congregate. May it not be so for us, that we only look for content to hear what, you know, the scripture say, but forgetting that part of the need to meet together as a body of Christ. So the overarching truth that we established last weekend is this. The local church is a covenant community. What do I mean by covenant? It means that we agree, all right, to do our part. Even if you don't do your part, I will do my part. That's called a covenant. Right? So it is a covenant community that visibly manifests God's invisible kingdom. And so I mentioned to you why we are in where the kingdom of God is here, but not yet, right? The kingdom of God is here. It is the kingdom of God comprises of God's people. And that is why we are called kingdom people. Everyone say kingdom people. Say it aloud. Kingdom people. So we are kingdom people. And the local church called this DUMC here is an expression. All right, the church is not the kingdom of God, but it is an expression, all right, a physical, visible expression of kingdom people. And the church is given the keys now. I talked to you about the keys that bind or loose, the key that will confirm, all right, it will confirm the true believers of Jesus Christ. Right? No one would know 100% the heart of man. Only God knows, right, whether you are truly saved. But God uses the church to confirm, all right, through a series of things that we do to confirm that you are true believers of Christ and accept you into membership. Whether it's formal or informal, it doesn't matter because there are some churches who don't have a formal membership process. But in DUMC, we do have a formal membership process. But there are churches who don't have a formal one. They are informal. But the point is, the spirit is this, be committed to one. Be committed to a local church. Be committed in serving the local church and its people. So Christians are to take church commitment seriously. It is an important part of a Christian discipleship. And therefore, submission to a local church, the leadership of local church, is a sign of one's submission to God. All right? Let me repeat that. This is God. I didn't say it. It is the Word of God, all right, that allows us to understand that when we submit to the leadership of the church that God has ordained, whichever local church is, we are submitting to the reign of God. Now, I realize that even last weekend, while I said this, there were some comments on the chat. You know, this is one of the thing about, you know, online church. You see the chat that's going on. Like right now, I do not know what's going on in your mind, right? I don't. Really, I don't. Okay? But on the chat, you can get to know some of the minds of the people, right, what they are thinking when I'm saying this. So they didn't like the part when I say, when you submit to the leadership of the church, you're submitting to God. So I think they asked a very fair question. Someone asked a fair question. If you're listening to me right now, right, I'm actually addressing this question here. All right, what if the leadership of the church is corrupted? Fair question. What if the leadership of the church is corrupted? That is a fair question. That is why there must be accountability within the leadership of the church. I give you an example. You see, as a senior pastor of this church called DUMC, I am not the absolute leader over this church. Although I lead this church, but I am accountable to my fellow elders. They need to hold me accountable. If ever I step out of line, I expect, let me say this to you, I expect them to correct me. Because I'm not 100%. No leader in any church is 100% right in everything. But we must submit ourselves, including me as a senior pastor of the church. I need to submit myself to the eldership of the church who holds me accountable. If ever I drift away from the doctrine of the church, I will expect them. Not only do I expect them, I need them to correct me. So I need the church around me. I need to humble. Leadership of the church means that we need to humble ourselves to the correction through, you know, others around us. Now, UMC does not operate by ourselves. We are under submission to a wider body of the Methodist Church in this country. So we are not operating alone. So in addressing that question, what if the leadership of the church is corrupt? Because we are not 100%, we are imperfect. Yes, it can be true, but as long as we submit, all right, to, as you know, as peers to each other in the leadership of the church, so that we can be corrected. And I hope, you know, that will answer that question. So, therefore, we need to take our submission to, you know, church seriously and serve in this local church. So, you know, people like you and me, all right, everyone say me, all right, tap your heart, all right, me. So you and me, do you know that we can come and go? Now, when I say come and go means that one day we will die. We'll be gone, okay? But the church will last for eternity. See, you and I, we can come and go. In fact, we may not be, for all I care, I may not be around tomorrow. But tell you what, the church will last for eternity. In fact, why do I say that? Because it is Jesus, you know, who said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. And so, in other words, you and I can come and go in the church, all right, meaning that we pass on to glory. In 100 years' time, if Christ have not come back again, not yet, all right, if in 100 years' time, we all will be, have already met our Maker, the church will remain. And so in that sense, we all know in church history, there are powers that be that have tried for centuries now to try to shut down the church. The more they try to persecute and shut down the church, the more it thrives. Right? No one has succeeded to shut down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very important thing for us to know that we may come and go, but yet the church will remain forever, because it's so precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here I have said to you that the church, the local church, is flesh, the visible expression of the kingdom of God, expressed out in spiritual authority, in a safe home, as a global mission, and as an equipping station for God's people. And so this weekend, I'm going to focus on this whole area of a safe home. A safe spiritual home for God's people. What are our benefits and what are our responsibilities in this safe home? So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. The church is a safe spiritual home away from home, from God's people. You see, we are not home yet, right? We are not home to be with God. Not yet. That's our real home. So while we are not at our real home, I call it the future glory, So right now, this is a home away from home. That's what I mean. So everyone read together. One, two, go. The church is a safe spiritual home away from home for God's people. So let me jump into that. Three things I want to share with you. I feel so excited to be able to say that this is what the safe spiritual home is all about. Number one, the significance of this spiritual home. What's the significance of this local church? Now, I'm 60 years old this year. Well, 60 is a long time, right? Now, in my 60 years as a human on this earth, right? And out of that, I came to know the Lord at 17 years old. And so that leaves me about 30 over, or you're up to 40 years now as a Christian. I only know of four churches that I belong to. Only four, okay? The first one was when I became a Christian in my hometown, and it was a small Anglican church. I got baptized in that. I was there for 3 years, and that was my point of conversion for me. A very small church, an Anglican church. I was baptized in it, so that's my first church. And then later on, when I went to Australia to study in Melbourne, and that's my second church. For 6 years in Australia, you know, I stayed and worshiped and served in that church all 6 years, and that is the Church of Christ in Clayton. And that is a wonderful church because that's the church I met my wife, right? So that's already very good already, all right? And so when I came back, almost to be girlfriend, all right? We came back and we were looking for a church. And we found this church here. We wasn't really sure where to settle down, for me to settle down. We went to visit a church, a Baptist church in Kuala Lumpur. And we stayed there, became a member there, and stayed there for 3 years, and then by the time, you know, we wanted to get married, we told ourselves we need to find a church around Petaling Jaya, you know, because we were staying around here, and we, to cut the whole long story short, we ended up in DUMC, and we got married in 1988, and I have been here since for 32 years, all right? And that's my fourth church. This is my fourth church. Now, very strangely, for some reason, that when I became a Christian, belonging to a church was ingrained into my mind, you know. It wasn't an option. Everywhere I went, I wanted to belong to a local church and be a member of it and actively participate in it. Now, I was just reflecting on this. What gave me that idea? What gave me that idea I need to belong and be a member of every church that I went to? And I think it was a Holy Spirit that drove me with an understanding of Scripture, even as a young Christian, to say that you must belong to a local church. And there was no single time in my life where I didn't belong to any local church as a Christian. I am so committed to DUMC, so very committed, that I left my engineering career and became a pastor here. That's how committed I am, right? And now I've been serving in DUMC for 26 years now. And that will give you an idea how committed I am to this local church here called DUMC. And I'm really, really grateful. Thank you very much, all right? You're clapping to the Lord, all right? It's only by God's grace, all right? Now, I'm really grateful to this church here called DUMC for shaping me and my family to be what we are today. It is DUMC as a local church who has shaped me, allowing me, you know, to serve, allowing me to grow. And it has given us a stability for my next generation and the next. Now remember, my wife and I, we will not be here someday. Right? That's a guarantee. We will not be here someday, but I know the church will be there for my children and their children and the children after that. The church will be there. We may not be there. And therefore, the best thing we can do for our children is to anchor them or anchor themselves, help them anchor themselves in a local church as part of your Christian DNA. Because that will give them the stability. In fact, all of us who are parents will know this, right? The fruit of our parenting is when we are not around. So let me repeat that. The fruit of our parenting is tested when we are not around. I remember living my children, the eldest one, when he went overseas to study, I could only wave at him, you know, at the airport and he went off. I remember I felt really sad, you know, when our children leave the nets, right? How many parents felt that way, right? I think all hands, all parents, I know the mixed feeling you have. And the two younger ones, we had the privilege of sending them all the way, you know, accompanying them to America. And I still remember the feeling I had as a father, you know, as we drove away, looking at the rear mirror while they waved goodbye to us, you know. You feel like almost crying, you know. Or I felt so sad in my heart that finally they are leaving us. You know, we only have 18 to 20 years with our children. That's it. And after that, they will leave the nets. And then I realized that the test of the fruits of our parenting is when our children leave the nets, when they go overseas, when they go out to work. And so the real question is this. Will belonging to a church be part of their lifestyle? Will it be part of their lifestyle? Will our grandchildren do the same thing? And will the children after that have that as their DNA? You see, we have heard of some children going overseas. In fact, this was quoted as an example. Right? They went overseas, and something influenced them, and they came back, and they said they have left their faith. Now, before we are too quick, right, to point the fingers at the environment that they were in, okay, we need to ask ourselves, have we trained them well while they were at home with us? Have we trained them well about their need for a local church before we point our fingers at the society out there? Right? And I think that is a very poignant question that we need to ask ourselves. Have we helped them to see the church as a spiritual home wherever they go? See, one of the concerns many parents have is this. When our children goes overseas or go somewhere else, will they go to church? So you call them constantly, you know. Are you going to church? Are you going to church, right? Now, if it is part of DNA, you don't need to ask them to go to church, you know. They will go to church because it's part of their lifestyle as a Christian. And so that is why this subject of the church being a home is so important. How do we help our children and the generation after us to see church as a safe home? So, therefore, the question is, what is a home? A home is a place where you can be who you are. A home is a place where people accept you for who you are, but love you enough to help you to be a better version of yourself. Better version of who you are, and not afraid to correct and discipline you when you're out of line. That's called a home. Now, I'm not describing the church, by the way. I'm describing the home. The home should be like that. That you are accepted for who you are. So I wonder how many of us come from a home like this. But the church, in some sense, is a reflection of that home. Now, it would be a sad situation if the home does not reflect it and the church does not reflect it, then we're in big trouble. And that is why it's so important for the church to teach families to be first a church to their own children before they come to this church here called the local church and expect the local church to help our children in that area. So everything starts from the home. So the home at the local church is such an important thing for all of us. Now, imagine now with me that if you were in a foreign country, and in that foreign country, the country got invaded. Right? For whatever reason, it got invaded and it went into war. Now, you are in that country, in your own, in the home that you were living in. Now, where would you go if a country goes to war where you are living? Where would you go? You would go to the embassy of the homeland. You would run there. Because that is the safest place to be in a foreign country when the country is at war. Because that's your home ground. Now, many of us have seen the documentaries on the collapse of South Vietnam. It was a fascinating documentary that I was watching where South Vietnam collapsed in April 1975. They were in a 19-year war. That's a long time. For 19 years, they fought that battle. And at the final moment, all right, of the collapse of South Vietnam, there was a signal that came through the military radio. And they told all these people here, when you hear this song played, go to the embassy. And that song played was I'm Dreaming of the White Christmas by Bing Crosby. And that song was played on military radio, and everybody knew who were informed. They are either Americans or friendlies, all right? They are supposed to go to the embassy. And in that documentary, I saw it's an amazing documentary, the 7,000 people were airlifted, all right, from Saigon, at that time it was called. 7,000 were lifted, many from the embassy were airlifted to the nearby ships. And 80% of them were South Vietnamese. Only 20% were Americans. But you see, when an American approached the American embassy, they have the right to enter into the embassy, but not the rest, unless they have special rights as guests. And so in the same way, God has established the local church as an embassy, a home, a safe home away from home that we can run to when there's a war out there. And we know that there's a war out there, right? A spiritual war that is taking place. And if you're out in a war zone without the ability now to come into the embassy, and which is called the local church, you are left alone now. Then no wonder so many people who don't belong to a church get caught up in the spiritual warfare outside. So the Bible reminds us in first, you know, Peter, that we are aliens and strangers in the world. You are called an alien, by the way. Another version says you are refugee. Now, we may call, you know, our people from Myanmar and, you know, and some other countries, we call them refugee. But actually, we are all refugees here because we are only passing through, right? And so we are, the Bible says, aliens and strangers, refugees, foreigners. These are the words given. And but it also says we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. And that is why it's so important to recognize that the church is not the building. The church is the people of God. In fact, the scripture says that it's a spiritual house built not of brick and mortar, but by living stones. And we are the living stones of this local church. It is a communion of God's people. And that is why when I stand in front of you, sometimes I will say, hello, DMC family. Because we are part of this spiritual family. So turn to each other now and wave and say, hello, family. Right? Hello, family. You are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this is one of the greatest privileges I have. Wherever I go from around the world, I can enter a church, which is the embassy, right, of the kingdom of God. I can enter any church, and I know I will be welcome. No questions asked. All right? And that is an amazing part of being the family of God. So here's a big idea again. The church is a safe spiritual home away from home for God's people. So that's the significance of being, you know, part of this local church. It is a safe haven. It is an embassy for us to come out from this warfare that's going on out there. But what are the benefits? The benefits of this spiritual home. There are many, but let me highlight three main ones. The first one is this: receiving instruction and support in being a follower of Christ. Right? So, receiving instruction and support. Now, how does a child, think of your child when they were very young, as a baby, as they were growing up. How does a child know what's right and what's wrong? How does a child know that? In fact, if you leave the child by himself or herself, he or she will do all the wrong things. Why? Because by default, all right, the heart is evil. And so you do not need to teach the child to be bad, right? They will automatically be naughty. So therefore, we need to teach the child to be good. Because the child's mind is a blank slate that needs to be instructed. In fact, that word instruction in the Greek actually means to put in the mind. So therefore, God's word needs to be instructed. It needs to be put in the mind of our children. Therefore, for a spiritual baby, spiritual babies in the Lord. Some of you have just come to know the Lord Jesus. How do you know what is good and what is bad? The only way you can know is that in this local church here, all right, or in the family of God, or in your own family, we begin to instruct you from the Word of God. That's the only way you will know what's right and what's wrong. So, how we receive this by preaching and teaching. That is why one of the most important roles that I need to be as a senior pastor of this church is not running good programs. It's not, you know, organizing this church. They are important, but the most important part is that I must ensure that every member of DUMC is taught well and instructed well. And that is why very intentionally I make all of you hold up your Bible every time you come. Right? It is a way of telling you this is very, very important. Don't leave home without it, in other words. All right, the Word of God. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, this is what he says, and all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. All right? But the word of the Lord, what does it say? Endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. See, everything else can fade away, but the church and the Word of God will endure forever. And that is why we need to teach this Word of God. We need to lift it up and say this is our authority. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, this is what it says. It's a familiar verse. All right, why don't we read it aloud together? Because this is such an important verse for us to remember. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, then rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that is the function of the Word of God, to teach, rebuke, to correct, and to train you in righteousness. And so what is this foundation of the Christian faith? Right, here's a checklist. How do you know? How does a church confirm in you that you are a follower of Jesus? So one passage, for example, talks about this. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings, right, about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Right? So we all must grow. We must be taken to maturity. But what are these, what the writer of Hebrews says, elementary teaching. So here's the elementary teaching. Not laying again. It means don't lay again. These are so elementary. All right, you must know them. So what are some of these things? Number one, it is about not laying again the foundation of repentance. Right? So do you live a life of repentance? Meaning turn away from the things that are not honoring to God. Right? So these are basic, these are foundational. So have you repented towards the Father? And the second basic thing is the word faith. And of faith in God. That means in your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know your Bible? Do you know your doctrine? Do you know your theology of who Christ is? And why did Christ have to, or Jesus have to die on the cross? What did He do, right, that saved you from your sins? So these are basic fundamental things that we need to teach you as babies in Christ. And then the third thing is instruction about cleansing rites. What is this cleansing rites? Cleansing rites is about water baptism. So are you baptized? This is basic and fundamental. That is why when you come to us, you say, you know, you want to be a member of the church, we ask you, are you baptized? You're not baptized, get baptized, because this is fundamental as a baby in Christ that you must know. And then the fourth one is the laying on of hands. And laying on of hands in the Bible is always about anointing with the Holy Spirit. Now, the laying of hands, right, is a simple interpretation, is that being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Right? So these are fundamentals that we as a church must make sure that you know them. Do you know that there are people, there are Christians who struggle for years without even getting the fundamental right? For example, they are not baptized. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do you even move on to maturity? That is why it is so important for us, you know, to help you grow in the Lord. Therefore, we want to teach you, we want to instruct you, we want to preach good sermons, all right? Not for the sake of tickling our ear. I may need to preach hard sermons, all right? To help you know the Word of God for what it actually says. You know, there's an initiative in DUMC called
The initiative called Making DUMC Home. This is putting together a process of making sure that visitors, new believers that are added to the kingdom here, you know, we want to make sure that you are assimilated into cell group, and we want to make sure somebody disciple you properly so that you know all the basic fundamental. So the benefit is receiving instruction and support in being a follower of Christ. And I hope you have been receiving that. Right? If DUMC don't give you this, now I say to you as a senior pastor, go find another church that does it. If we are not giving you this. Because this is so fundamentally important. We don't want to preach word, you know, we don't want to preach sermons that tickle your ear to make you feel good. Yes, some sermons will do that. But we need to teach the whole counsel of God about discipleship, about what it means to give our life to Jesus and commit to Him and to serve God's people. And so the second thing that we do is to train and equip you in specific ministry. So in verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and what? Good deeds. Love and good deeds. You would know by now, since joining DUMC, DUMC has been known very much as a training church, equipping church. We have all kinds of training courses that will last you many, many months. Right. If you were to go through them one by one. So we have equipping courses in training you in on spiritual matters. We have equipping courses that teach you how to read the Bible, understand the Bible. We have training courses on leadership. We have training courses. In fact, in our Impact 2020, Impact Now, we have courses to teach you, all right, how to be equipped in order to do well. In that, we will not just tell you what to do. We pray that we will also instruct you and also to show you how it is done. And so we have all this going on, all right, in DUMC because it is so important for those of you handling God's Word. If you're really, really serious, if you want to go further, we even collaborate with Bible Seminary, all right, to help you move towards even a master's degree or doctoral degree in collaboration with seminaries. So we want to encourage you to do that. And we provide you avenues for your equipping in terms of cell groups, social concerns, in missions. And we teach you how to share the gospel. And there's so many things that we hope we will help you do. We equip you before you get married to make sure that you are well informed, that you have learned some basic skills on what it means to live together. And then after you're married, we have courses that teach you how to stay married. Okay? And after you're married, staying married, we also have now courses to teach you how to be good parents. It is all available. So, all these things here is not just for kingdom people. Do you know we're even extending some of this now to non-kingdom people, all right? Even in marriages, all right? In marriage preparation, in parenting, all right? And many other things that we can do to extend all this out, even in financial literacy, all right? We are extending out even to non-kingdom people. So, in other words, this local church here, if you're part of DUMC, I pray, this is a benefit that you will have to be trained, right? To be trained in ministries. And thirdly, is this accountability for spiritual growth. Not only do we receive instruction, you know, because we know instruction by itself will not change us because it all remains in the mind. We can only change our lives or transform is when we obey. When we obey the truth. Now that you have purified yourself by not the truth, but by obeying the truth. So how do we know that you're obeying the truth? We only know you're obeying the truth if I hold you accountable. You will do what you say you will do. If no one checks on you, you will likely not do them. That is why cell groups are so important. That is why being part of a small group community is so important in our lives, where in the small group community, we hold each other accountable. We make sure that if there's something that we need, you know, to confront you on, that you need to repent of. In fact, the most loving thing we can do to someone is to confront them on things that they've done wrong in their life. And then help them along, all right, to be nurtured back to life again. So in some sense, we are our brothers or sisters' keeper, right? We need to help each other grow. And I thank God in my own life, there are brothers, right, who have helped me keep in check. I have brothers who have come up to me and say, I don't like what I see in you. You need to change in this area. And I thank God for brothers like this who love me enough to do that. So let's not be afraid to call out sins.
Let us not be afraid to confront sins for what it is. And you must know that we do it because we love you, because we want to restore you. God is not in the business of shaming. We should not be as well. God is always in the business of rebuilding, of renewing. But we need to confront first lovingly and graciously. So here, there's a big idea, a reminder again, that the church is a safe place, a safe spiritual home away from home for God's people. And then finally, not only we talk about significance, benefits, but now comes the responsibilities. So what are our responsibilities here? The responsibilities of this spiritual home. So what are these spiritual responsibilities? What are the responsibilities of our children at home, or members of the family? Right? We contribute. How many of you parents have actually used this phrase to your children? Right? Don't put your hand, okay? But I know many of you put up your hand. Don't treat this home like a hotel. How many have said that? Right? I'm sure many of us parents have said that. Because we want our children to realize this, that this home belongs to you, you have a responsibility over that, over the home. And therefore, we need to list out clearly the expectation that we have of them. So, there are many responsibilities, but I believe there are two top ones that we need to have as a responsibility to this spiritual home. And the first one is this, to love one another deeply from the heart. Deeply from the heart. First Peter says this, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. Wow, it's a very serious phrase, no? How do you love people deeply from the heart? Here, it's not talking about loving your wife or husband. Here, it's not talking about loving your own children. Here, it's talking about the members of God's spiritual family. That means us. How do we love each other deeply from the heart? How many of you would say that it's easy to love people deeply? How many of you would say easy? None of us, right? It's tough to love people deeply. It's not easy. In fact, Jesus told us, no, it's not easy. So this is what Jesus said. Very interestingly, he knows our hearts, is it? All right? This is what he said. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them, right? Of course, it's so easy to love people who are lovable, people who are nice. Of course, that's easy. Jesus himself said that. So he said, what credit is that to you if you do that? So he goes on to say, but love your enemies. Wow, that's tough. Love your enemies, do good to them. Then your reward will be great and you'll be children of the Most High because he's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And by the way, our brothers and sisters in spiritual family are not our enemies. But sometimes we treat them like one. But here it's very clear that love your enemies, people who are the non-kingdom people. If Jesus said to love even your enemies, no wonder he tells us, love one another. This is a command to us deeply from the heart. So tell you what, many people don't like to join the local church and be really serious in it because it goes against their grain. Because now they're required to love each other deeply, even people, fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord you don't like. How many of us belong to a cell group that you like everybody even? Do you? None of us, right? There's always, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other people, okay? There's always somebody in the cell group that you just cannot. You try, you go home, you fast and pray some more, right? You find it so hard, you know, and you for weeks you thought about whether you should leave the cell group and all that. But again, you're reminded, love each other deeply from the heart. Why? Because God is training you. He loves you so much that he put a really difficult person in your cell group. Why? He wants to train your heart. He wants to train your heart to see whether you got what it takes to love God, serve people, and make disciples towards Christ's likeness. The only way you can do that is when God allows certain people in your life and really rout that part of you to help you see that how wicked your heart is. And that is God's role through the local church. So it becomes a laboratory and testing of relationships.
And as we go through this hardship of relating to one another, God transforms us. We are the greatest beneficiary in this transformation of loving people deeply from our hearts. And that is why we need the local church. You can hop from church to church to church because you got angry with somebody. You do it at your own expense. Can I encourage you? Right? If you have come to DUMC because of a hurt that you have from another church, please make sure, I'm not suggesting you must go back to your church, but at least reconcile. Right? And when you come here, I guarantee you, you will find difficult people too. And when you find difficult people, can I urge you, plead with you, don't jump ship anymore. Learn to love each other. Forgive one another. And that is why 1 Peter 2, 1 goes on to say, therefore, rid yourself of all malice. You know what malice means? I checked the word malice. Malice simply means I want to see other people suffer. That's called malice, you know. And he's talking to be Christians, you know. Right? So drop all your malice. All right, some of us clap our hands when our people we don't like suffer, no? Quietly in our hearts, we don't publicly go and clap. You know, but that's us, you see. So drop all your malice, drop all deceit, drop all your hypocrisy, envy, and slander. So the first responsibility is to love one another deeply from the heart, and the second responsibility is spiritual growth. You must grow. So in 1 Peter 2, it goes on to say, like newborn babies crave for pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So we need to grow. We need to grow in the Lord. We are to create a spiritual family with an atmosphere and a culture of spiritual growth. It's not about modifying our behavior. You know how we modify behavior of our children by caning them, by punishment? That's called modifying behavior. But what if their hearts have not changed? When their hearts are not changed, the moment they are out of the nest, right, they throw away all restraints and be really who they are. And that's the scary part. So here we're not talking about just behavior modification. Here we are talking about a heart transformation. And it is in the local church that your children grow. Your children grow, all right, to confront themselves for who they are, and the family of God helps them confront it. And then they are able to be transformed. So here's the spiritual growth. So I've talked about significance, the benefit, and the responsibility of the spiritual home. Now coming, you know, back to this big idea again, the church is a safe spiritual home away from home for God's people. Church, I want you to understand the significance. I want you to understand the benefits. I want you to understand the responsibilities. Now, I want to show you a video right now. A video you probably have seen quite a number of times. But it is a video, you know, that allows us to understand the importance of the family within us. It is a series of videos that was produced by Our Family Life. And I took one of these videos and said, hey, let's see that again because it reminds us of the importance of being part of this family. All right, let's roll this video and I'm going to make the closing remark later.
I'm Bernard.
And I'm Hui Xian.
We have three children. It's often said that it takes a village to raise a child, children in our case, and we find it to be extremely true and relevant, not least because life is so much richer when our kids are growing up and running around with other children of their age. It's a cliche, I know. It's no man is an island, but it's very, very true. It's we're all a product of our, not just our family values that we learn at home, but we're also a product of our environment. And what is our environment if not our community?
When we we first started off when we had our first child, and then the second, as a mother with young children, it would have been a lot easier to, yes, get my rest on the weekends, you know, let the children be at home and have their naps. But Bernard has been very clear from when the kids were very young that we needed to be part of a community and we needed to be spending time with other people and other. So because he has taken the lead and he took the lead in doing that, it became more and more a part of our normal routine. So for example, to spend time with some of our cell members, cell group members, and others from, you know, whom we know from church together, to have coffee, for example, to have lunch after church service on Sundays, and to have coffee afterwards. As that became more of a routine, then it, I guess the joy and the benefit from it just overtook everything else, and we've just enjoyed it so much that even though we're tired, the kids may be tired at the end of it, you know, we still make it a point and a priority.
Even when we first bought our home, mm-hmm. we said from the outset that we would dedicate this home yep. to the Lord. It was our hope and prayer that our home would be a place where many people could come in through its doors, and everyone who comes through its doors mm-hmm. will find and experience His peace and His love and mm-hmm. His joy.
Mm-hmm. Apart from the adults that our kids will relate to, who are, you know, their parents' contemporaries, we also have a young adult cell group that meets at our home, and we're also involved in a community work that's called the Marriage Preparation Course. A group of couples who are involved in that and who have been married maybe for 20 to 30 years, and our children also have interact with them as well.
The children are growing up, and each time they meet, each time we have an activity together, we're mindful that they're building memories together, mm-hmm. memories that we hope would last them through their lives. Having the two of us being introverts means that this being with the community does not come naturally to us. As to why we do it then, I think my response would be that we can't rely on our feelings in life. We can't sink back and just keep doing the things that we are comfortable with. If we have a certain objective or purpose that we think is greater than us, that's important enough, we need to push ourselves to be uncomfortable, to push the boundaries beyond our comfort zone, one step at a time, to do what is needed. The benefit of that is that
we've become more extroverted.
We've become more extroverted as a result.
Isn't that amazing? That I love that phrase, it pushes to being uncomfortable. And I think that's what the local church would do. And I love to see the kids running around. Fast over 10 years from now, when they are young adult, what is the view of the local church? So you and I, we may be gone. The parents, the father, mother may be gone, but the church remains. And if they can, it can sink themselves into a church wherever they are. It doesn't matter whether it's local, here in Dew, MCO, another church somewhere, depending on where God will take them. And as long as they remain as part of an active member of the local church, right? There in the world where the spiritual warfare going on, they have an embassy that they go to. And so I love this video because if you hear them very clearly, that although they are introverted, they are introverts by nature, they don't like all this hanging around with people, but yet they knew of the importance for their children to grow up in a community that will be a family to them. And so I want to encourage parents. I love such a great example and model. When they were young, don't shortchange them by you know, remaining at home. Bring them. It's very inconvenient. You know, I really miss that group of young families over the other side. I'm longing one day to see them all come back again, right? Where it's amazing to see some of this family. They could have easily stayed at home and watched a live stream. But they came because they wanted to build into them the whole understanding for their children. It is important to belong to a church, the local church. Amen? Let's bow our heads now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the reminder of this church that Jesus died for. And this local church called DUMC is an expression. It's an expression
of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, God. You know, we all can come as God's people to be thankful for this church called DUMC. We thank you for many of us who have been here for years. We recognize and are thankful in our hearts for what it has been to us. And some of you may be new here. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you see the importance of you anchoring yourself in the local church. Whether it's DUMC or another church, it doesn't matter. But where is the local church that God has called you to be a part of? And so here I sense that even for us, some of us here needing that spiritual home. And I see the word traveler, and I see that word, you know, lost. And some of us are just lost. Even those watching this online right now, you're not sure whether which church do you actually call home. You're just here for the content, but you're not here for the relationship. Now, you may not need this relationship right now. I guarantee you that there'll be come a time in your life when you cried out, the family is there for you. And so I pray that some of us here, as we bow our heads, if you're not committed to any family of God, wherever you are, especially those watching this online, can I urge you to be committed to one? If you're not baptized, get baptized and become a member of this local church. And then be part, join a cell group, be part of it, that you may grow strong in Jesus, not only doing it for your sake, but doing it for the sake of your children and their children after that. That is an amazing privilege we all have as kingdom people. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. And those of you watching this online and those who could be here on the in-person celebration, you may not be a Christian, but something I said right now helps you see that you need to belong. And this idea of the Christian church, of a spiritual family, is something that you know you're longing in your own heart. And do you know how you can belong to this local family here, the spiritual family called UMC? You can be part of this family by having Jesus as your Lord and God. And how do you do that? You do that by inviting Him. It's a decision you make to say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life so that you can transform me, you can make me a child of God so that I can be part of this family here called DUMC. And so if that's a desire of your heart, I always give an opportunity for someone who may not know Jesus here. I want to help you pray. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer, a prayer of confession, a prayer to say that I need you, Jesus, and invite Him into your life. If you agree with me on this prayer, you pray with me silently in your heart, whether here or in, you know, online watching this. And if you're backslided away from God, you can say the same prayer too, to say, I want to renew my life in Jesus. So if that's you, I want you to pray. I want you to pray together with me in your heart, silently in your heart, and God will hear your prayer. Are you ready? Especially those online as well. Will you bow your heads right now? And you repeat this prayer in your heart. Remember, it is a prayer to God. And you're making a decision to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. So if that's you, you pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus. All right, just quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess the sins of my life. I know there are many things that I've done that is wrong. I'm not proud of them. I confess it before you. I'm sorry. And Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And on the cross, you paid for the penalty of my sins. You paid the fine for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. And I receive that forgiveness. Please come into my life and make me a child of God. Make me a new person so that I can belong to this spiritual family. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, and those of you, especially online, there's a little button that says raise hands. It's just for you to indicate that, you know, you have make that prayer to say that you want to invite Jesus into your life. So someone will come to you, you know, as you click that button, raise hands, and someone will, you know, help you in this area. And those of you in person here, you have said that prayer before you leave, all right, just say to someone, or as you're leaving, that I especially come up to one of the pastors and say, "Now I made a prayer, and quickly we just want a quick detail from you to help you. I mean, we know we can't hang around here, but we want to connect with you and help you through in that." So why don't we stand right now and let's sing in the closing song. And as we sing that, you know, whatever needs that you have in your life right now, online or here in person, I want you to raise these needs before God. You see, God knows your need even before you pray. That's the amazing God that we have. But as a family of God, we stand with you and pray together with you. Now, I know we cannot all come forward, you know, to receive prayer, not at this point at least, you know, but we want you to know that wherever you are, as you raise these needs to the Lord, just know that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. So as we sing this song, bring your needs before God, all right? And God knows what these needs are, all right? So let's sing this song and just sing it in prayer.
So here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified in all things. For all my life I am yours forever. Be glorified in all things. For all my life, I am yours forever. Yours.
Let's sing that one last time.
So here I bow to lift you high, Jesus. Be glorified.
So continue to just remain in a posture of prayer. I just want to pray very briefly with you. As you lift your hands to the Lord, this is what I sense right now. You know, that some of us need to come to the point of repentance. You know, God has continued to reveal certain things in your heart. Some of us are struggling with that. And I believe that God is gracious to you. God wants to help you to repent. You know the issues at hand and you have not been able to sleep well. You know, you're troubled in your mind. You know you have, in fact, it is something about you having offended somebody, or somebody has offended you. The Lord wants you to know that He knows your hurt. And so surrender this to the Lord right now because He loves you and He wants to help you through this. And I also sense that someone, you know, here, you know, needs to reconcile. You're going through a difficult time. You know, it could be a marriage, it could be, you know, a courting relationship. You know, you're going through a difficult time right now. I just sense there's a pain in your heart. Will you surrender that to the Lord? And just surrender it to Him and allow Him to work in your life right now. Now, if you need healing in whatever part of your body, all right, I believe that God can do His miracle too, whether even online while watching this or here in person. I want you to put your hand to that part of your body. And I want to believe that God can bring about a healing grace upon you right now. So whatever part of your body right now, could you lay your hands on that if you need healing? Because I'm going to pray a prayer of faith right now. Would you do that right now quickly? Then whatever part of your body, just put your hand on that part of your body. Jesus, Holy Spirit, you see, God, every need that is in this room, in this auditorium, and those, Lord, are watching this at home. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, Lord, release your grace. Release your healing touch. Release your comfort, God. Release, God, what my brother and my sister need to do in order to walk by faith. And so in the name of Jesus, God, Lord, I speak that healing. I speak that restoration. I speak that comfort, God, into every person that they may know of your presence, God, in a real and powerful way. So receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive by faith. Be thankful in your heart. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with me. Come with a spirit of thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Jesus, right now. So I give you a short moment. Just give thanks to Jesus. Just put your hand where you need healing. And by faith, accept what God would do in your life right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're ministering to every need here right now, because your presence will manifest the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, Lord, will you help each of us, God, to be mindful of who you are, our great shepherd, our King, and our Savior. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I'll come. We hope to see you next weekend. And there's many more seats that can be filled. And those who need further prayer online, you can click that button called Request Prayer, and someone will come alongside you and pray with you. So God bless you.